enjoyed that. Enjoyed the singing this morning. And it's already been good to be in the Lord's house. Good Sunday school time. And then have a baptism right off the bat this morning. And I sort of feel like, you know, you ever watch them TV shows that's live and they giving out awards and whoever's hosting it, when the commercial goes away, when you come back, they've got different clothes on. So I was trying to hurry, and how long does it take to tie a tie? A long time if you're really trying to hurry. But it's good to see everybody this morning, and thankful that the Lord let us be here today, and I've been looking forward to it. And I had wondered about the weather. You know, they were talking all about the snow and what it's going to do and everything. And so we just prayed about that and trust the Lord. And here we are today. But you know, we haven't missed church this winter because of weather. And I think that's probably unusual. Most of the time we'll at least miss a Sunday or a Wednesday or something in November or December. So it's been good so far. I'm glad to be here today. And like I said, I've been looking forward to it, praying about the first Sunday of the year, what the Lord would have us to preach on. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. Don't run out the door, but the book of Job, chapter number 41. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of that chapter, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So the book of Job, chapter number 41. And at the end of the service today, we're going to give the right hand of full fellowship to Brother Colton and Sister Randy. And one of the last things we done in last year was we had a baptism, and one of the first things this year. Now, our baptistry messes up all the time, the heater in it and the plumbing of it or whatever. And you know, the reason it does that's because we just don't use it enough. But wouldn't it be a blessing? Now, we need to see some folks saved and then added to the local church through baptism and obeying the Lord. And so that's a prayer that I have this year, that we'd see more souls saved, maybe more than we've ever seen in the past 10, 15, 20 years. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Be a good way to start off the year. So let's be much in prayer together as a church. Job chapter number 41 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me?" Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I am thankful to be here. And Lord, as we come this morning, I pray and I ask that you would just meet with us here today. It's already been a blessing. It's already been good to be here. And we thank you that we are able to be here and have the health and strength to do that. But Lord, as we come, I ask that you would completely help self to get out of the way this morning. And Lord, that you would just use me. I pray to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray to be able to preach with liberty this morning. And I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people today and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I pray for any today that are here that are lost, that Lord, you would show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, I'm thankful for your word. And I'm thankful that every answer that we have and need in this life can be found in your precious word. So Lord, help today as only you can. And I pray that you would be magnified and glorified. And we'll thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
and amen.
All right, let's go back and read verse number one one more time. The Bible said, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down?" Now, what got me looking at this verse of scripture this morning, this was the very first verse that I read of the new year. The other day on New Year's Day, I got up, I'm reading my Bible through, I'm in the book of Job, and I was up to Job chapter number 41, and that's the first verse that I read in the new year. I even made a little note because I was sitting there and I got to looking at it and thinking about it, and I thought, that's an odd verse of scripture. And I made a little note in my Bible. I put 41, verse number 1, first verse of 2020, and I put a little smiley face out beside of it. But I got to thinking about, you know, what does that mean? And I thought about it like this. I thought, you know, maybe I should take up fishing this year. Sounds to me like a big catch, doesn't it, you? I mean, can you draw up Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with the cord which thou lettest down? I thought to myself, maybe some great adventure lies ahead in the year 2020, because it sounds to me like that'd be a pretty big adventure right there, what he is talking about. So I thought about a couple of things like that, and then a day or so goes by and sort of forgot about it, but it would come back to my mind, and I was thinking about that and thinking about that. Went back and I looked at it and I began to pray and think, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to preach out of that first Sunday of the new year. Leviathan there, and we're not going to take time to read the whole chapter, but it talks about this beast, this great creature called Leviathan. And if you look up what Leviathan is and read these verses in chapter number 41, the word Leviathan, it means this: a wreathed animal, a dragon, a serpent, a crocodile, a large sea monster. A large sea monster, a dragon, a serpent creature. And, you know, it sort of could be described as a crocodile, but I believe it's actually a little more than that as we study about what Leviathan is. But the Lord is asking Job the question, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Can you catch Leviathan with a hook? Can you put a worm on a hook and a pole and throw it out into the sea or out into the big river? And are you able to catch Leviathan with a hook? And I want to preach this morning on the subject, can you catch a dragon? That's what the Lord was asking Job. Can you catch a dragon? Can you catch a sea monster? Can you catch this great creature that it's talking about in verse number 1, or actually in the whole of chapter number 41. And then the Lord goes on down and he describes this Leviathan, this creature, and the answer is obviously no, this is not a creature that you can catch with a hook. And you know, sometimes people ask, does the Lord have a sense of humor? And I believe the Lord does have a sense of humor. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I know God intends for us to smile and to laugh and to have a good time in life. And I believe we could even see in chapter number 41, there's what we might call some divine satire in chapter number 41. If you look, he says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Look at verse number 3. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? And I can just see old Leviathan there and him coming before and saying, you know, oh, please, Mr. Job, don't catch me. That's what God's saying to Job. Is he going to speak soft words to you? Is he going to make a covenant with you? No, that's not going to happen. That's what God is trying to get across to Job. You're not able to catch this Leviathan. He goes on down and he says in verse number 9, behold, the hope of him is in vain. You think you're going to catch Leviathan? That's a vain hope. You're not going to catch Leviathan. It says, Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? I mean, if you even saw this creature, you'd fall in fear before him. And so he said in verse number 10, none is so fierce that dare stir him up. It doesn't matter. You find the bravest man, the bravest knight, the biggest fisherman. Nobody is brave enough. Nobody is going to be so fierce that they would dare stir him up if they come across this Leviathan, this creature that it's talking about. So the Lord describes Leviathan, and it goes on down, and it talks about a lot of things about this creature, whatever kind of creature it is. And it's obvious that that Leviathan is not going to be caught. So I began to look at it in a different light. I thought, well, I don't guess the Lord wants me to take up fishing this year. That's not what it's talking about. And I begin to ask and think, why is this question in the Bible? Why is this discussion, a whole chapter, chapter number 41, about can you catch a dragon? Can you catch Leviathan? Why is it here? What is the lesson of Job chapter number 41? And so what I want to give you, I got three things I want to share with you today. Number one, we find in the Bible rhetorical questions. Rhetorical questions. This is a rhetorical question in verse number 41, or chapter number 41 in verse number 1. And in fact, if we study it out, chapter number 38 all the way through chapter number 41 includes several rhetorical questions. Now, a rhetorical question, if you don't remember from when you went to school, a rhetorical question is one that does not necessarily require an answer. If somebody asks a rhetorical question, it is often used to make a point or to teach a lesson to somebody. One of the most common rhetorical questions is, don't you know how to do anything right? You know, we say that sometimes. Well, if somebody says that to you, they're not saying that you can't do anything right. They're saying, it seems like you're not able to do anything right. Anybody, surely all of us could do something right. But you don't ask that question to get an answer. You ask that question to get a point. To get a point across. And so we find in the Bible, there are many questions in the Bible that are there, not necessarily looking for an answer, but to get a point across. And that is why the Lord is asking these questions to Job in chapter 38 through chapter number 41. Now, we all know, or we probably know, the some of the things that were going on in Job's life. We might say in our day and time, boy, Job was being put through the mill. Job in his life at this time had been going through a lot of trials in his life. Job had had what we might say sometimes a very rough year. You probably know some of the things that happened to Job. He lost everything that he had. He lost his health. He lost his children. His so-called best friends came and they sat down in front of him and they accused him. And his wife said at one point, why don't you just curse God and die? Boy, you talk about a rough year. Job had had a very rough year. There are lots of trials, lots of tribulations. I think a lot of times we come to a new year and we look back on the last year and we say, boy, I hope next year is better than this one. We look back at our trials and our tribulations, and some years we have more, some years we have less, but in our life we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have people that misunderstand us, we're going to have in our life very discouraging times sometimes, and Job has had his share of these things. Job has also been guilty of his own sort of complaining about things. Whining about things. Now, we're guilty. We're guilty. We go through things and we say, oh me and oh mine, why is this happening to me? And you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't understand this. Job had went through times like that. In fact, go back to chapter 31. Chapter 31, and I'm going to read one verse. Verse number 35. One of the complaints that Job has had all along, and his friends come and they've accused him and they basically said, Job, you're having a hard time because you sinned. And Job continually makes the case that that's not why this has happened. But one of the things Job complains about, chapter 31, verse number 35, he said, oh, that one would hear me. Exclamation point. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me. Boy, you better be careful what you ask for. That's what Job had come down to a place in his life. He said, nobody's listening to a thing that I've got to say. Y'all don't understand. He said, oh, that one would hear me. I would just like to talk to God about this. That's what he said. You ever done that? You go through something in your life? I'd just like to ask God about that. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask this. You ever said that? Sure, probably have. Job said, I would like to talk to the Almighty about this. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me and that mine adversary had written a book is what Job is talking about. So that's one of the last things that Job has to say. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me. He wanted an audience with God. He wanted to talk to God about his situation. I mean, he wanted to talk to God himself. He wasn't just praying about it. He said, I want to talk to God about this. Look over in chapter number 38. Now another man comes in these chapters in between what we just read, and you get over to chapter number 38. His name is Elihu. But when you get over to chapter number 38, guess what? Job gets what he asked for. God comes to Job. And in chapter 38, verse number 1, the Bible said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Job, you're talking about things you don't know anything about. Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Well, Job got what he asked for, didn't he? He said, I'd really like to talk to God about this. I'm tired of talking to you fellas. You're not hearing what I've got to say. I'd really like to talk to God. All right, here comes God. Speaks to him out of the whirlwind. He said, Job, stand up like a man. I'm going to talk to you and you're going to answer me. You think you'd feel like you was in trouble? I think I'd feel like I wished I hadn't said some things that I'd said. That's exactly how Job felt. And so God comes and God begins to speak to Job. And God puts several questions before Job in these following chapters. And the purpose of these questions is to teach Job and to put Job in his proper place. Now, what is his proper place? His proper place is this. Job needs to be reminded that God is God. God is omnipotent. That means he is all powerful. God is immortal. That means he's eternal. That means he always has been. He is now. He always will be. God is God. And Job needs to be reminded that he's just a little man. He is a creation of God. And so God begins to ask Job some rhetorical questions down through here. Now look at chapter 38, verse number 4. First question, God asked Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, Job knew the answer to that, and God knew the answer to that. He wasn't looking for answers. He's trying to teach him some things. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Job, where were you when I made everything? He's trying to get Job to see God's God and Job's just a man. You know, that would be a good verse to put over every museum in the whole wide world. Every display that talks about where we come from and how we got here and all the answers that the scientific community can come up with, that'd be a good verse. Well, if you know so much, where were you when God made everything? Man thinks he's so smart, but he's really not very smart at all. I read something J. Vernon McGee said about, he said a fellow went to a museum one time and he was taking the tour and they got to this big old dinosaur, you know, skeleton, how they put him up and everything. And the guide said, this dinosaur is 2,000,006 years old. And the guy raised his hand and he said, I've got a question. He said, I'll give you the 2 million years, but where does the six come from? He said, well, when I started working here, it was 6 years ago. So now it's, and it was 2 million years old when he started work. Man thinks he knows so much. Man don't know anything. Where were you? You know, we got all these big questions for God. We're concerned about what God's doing in our life and why this and why that. And we need to remember, you know, you've not been around too long. Where was you when God made everything? And he goes on down and he begins to ask Job about the earth. Look at verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? You know, God is comparing when he created the earth to building a house. And he said to Job, you know, who measured it out? Who set the cornerstone? Who laid the foundations? What does the earth set upon? See, Job doesn't have the answer to all these questions, but God does. He goes on down, he talks about the earth, he talks about the sea, and verse number 8, or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set the bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. You know, have you ever been down to the coast and you look out across the water? Sort of looks like that water is higher than you are. What keeps that from just coming on inland? God said, that's as far as you're going. You go right down to the edge of the water and the waves come that far. God said, you're not coming no further. Now all that has to do with the gravitation of the moon and the pull and the tide and all those things. We know that. But let me tell you, God's pretty smart. Man couldn't do that. No way man could do that. God said to Job, where was you when I told the sea, your proud waves will come no farther than this? See, Job's got no answer. But God said, you're going to answer me. Stand up like a man. You're going to answer me. Job, where was you when all these things were going on? Look at verse 25 through 27. Look what the Bible says. Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is? He's asking Job about the desolate, the unexplored places of the world. Places in the world where at that time nobody had ever set foot upon. He said in verse 26, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste ground and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Man may go all over this earth, and he has down through the thousands of years, and man comes somewhere and he says, boy, I have discovered this. Nobody's ever been here before. Guess what? God had already been there. God already made the rain to fall. God already made the trees to grow. God already clothed the fields with grass and put the flowers and put the animals and everything else. Man says, I have discovered this. God's already been there, done all the landscape and made it beautiful. That's what God's saying to Job. Man doesn't discover something and say, boy, we got to go in here and fix it all up. No, God's already been taken care of. That's what God's saying to Job. Job, you're so smart, you wanted to talk to me. I need some answers about these things. What about the stars in the heavens? Look at verse 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Articus with his sons? He's talking about the stars in the heavens that man goes upon the sea by, and man plants his crops by, and man uses them, but God knows all about them. I said, Job, what do you know about all those things? Job, what do you know about the lightning? In verse 35, canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? You know, all man does is talk about the weather. God controls the weather. That's what God's saying to Job. Can you send the lightning where you want it to go? Does the lightning come and serve you and say, here we are, where do you want us to go next? That's what God's telling Job. Isn't God big? Isn't God good? It'd be good for us this first Sunday of the new year just to get a vision of how big God is and how much God knows. Then he goes on down and he talks about the animals. And he said in verse number 39, will thou hunt the prey for the lion? Verse 41, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Who feeds the birds of the air? God does. You going down to Walmart buying bird seed? Go ahead. But I'm telling you, they won't go hungry if you don't do that. 39 and 1, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Verse number 6, whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwellings. God said that the beasts of the field, that was their house. You've got a house. Guess what? The deer have got a house too. Yeah, those of you that hunt deer, you know how hard they are to hunt? You walk in the woods and you haven't even seen one yet and you hear that shh. There they go. Had they know, I mean, you sprayed down and you got on camouflage and everything else and you're being real quiet. How did they know you were walked into the woods? Because you walked into their house. If you went home, there's a big buck sitting in your recliner. Wouldn't you notice that? God said, you're in their house. I gave them a house, Job. You don't know as much as you think you do. That's why they're so hard. You're in their house. He talks about, in verse number 13, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich. Verse number 19, hast thou given the horse his strength? Verse number 20, canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? Verse 26, doth the hawk fly by wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Verse 27, doth the eagle mount up at thy command? Chapter number 40, verse number 15, behold now behemoth which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox, and on and on and on he goes, and he talks about all the animals, and you know what? Job doesn't take care of the animals, God does. Job doesn't know all about the animals. God does. Look at chapter 40, verse number 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He's saying, Job, you wanted to talk to me? Are you going to teach me now? Well, that'd be pretty humbling, wouldn't it? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. You ever said something and you wish you could take it back? That's what Job's saying. Verse 5, once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Verse 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Job, I'm still not done with you. See, Job said, I'm not going to say anything. And God said, I still want an answer from you. See, God continues to ask questions from Job because he has not gotten the right answer from Job. And so God says to Job, can you do this and can you do this and can you do this? And Job has to answer and say, no. God says to Job, do you know about this and do you know about this and do you know about this? And Job has to say, no. I don't know about all those things. Do you know there are many places in the Bible where there are questions that we just do not have the answer to, but God is trying to get us to the place where we'll give the right answer. In Jeremiah 13 and 23, the Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Do you know what? That's an Old Testament verse that's teaching we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can a leopard change his spots? Can a leopard change his spots? No. Can you that are accustomed to doing evil all of a sudden do good? No. You can't save yourself. You can't even change yourself. You can reform a little bit and try to turn over a leaf and all like that, but you cannot save yourself. That's what the Bible is teaching us there. Matthew chapter 6, I was reading that yesterday. That's a great passage of Scripture about thought for tomorrow and worrying about the tomorrows. And God asks the questions over there. Can you clothe the field? Can you make the flower consider the lilies of the field? He said Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like these. Just a beautiful flower. The richest king in the whole world couldn't compare to that. He said, consider the fowls of the air. God feeds them every day. He said in Matthew chapter number 6, can you by taking thought add one cubit to your stature? Can you add an inch to your... You know, when I get around Brother Stephen, I'd like to be a little taller. I get beside him, I feel like I'm very short. But I can't make myself any taller. I can't, by thought, I cannot add any days to my life. None of us chose where we would be born or the circumstances we'd be brought up in. Man thinks sometimes, oh, I'm pretty smart and I don't even need God. Why? You came into this world not of your own will. Your circumstances, not of your own choosing. And let me tell you something, when you leave this world, you got no say in that. We are very small compared to God. These questions in the Bible are not to, you know, one thing I like about this, Job, God didn't just come along and smack Job on the head. That's how we act sometimes, you know. But God's not like that. God comes and he begins to ask questions to Job. He's trying to get number two this morning, right answers out of Job. The reason for these rhetorical questions are to get a right answer out of Job. Look at chapter 42, verse number 1. I get a great blessing out of this. The Bible said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Boy, you ought to underline that. What is God trying to get out of Job? That right there. I know that you can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. See what Job's saying? I was talking about things I didn't know anything about. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth. He said, God, I have been wrong about a number of things, but now I see. That's what he's trying to get out of Job. That's what he's trying to get out of us. Have you ever heard the saying, I can't, but God can? What he's trying to get Job to learn here. You know, in the New Testament, it's like this. We talk about things that we can do. But in John chapter number 15, Jesus is talking to the disciples about he's the vine and we're the branches. And in John 15 and verse number 5, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. That's what the Lord is trying to show Job. That's what the Lord is trying to get us to understand. We are just branches, but if you separate the branch from the vine, we can't do anything. But he can do everything. Boy, if we could get tapped into that this morning. I mean, chapter 42 and verse number 2 ought to be circled, and it ought to be underlined, and it ought to be highlighted. I know that thou canst do everything. I was studying yesterday, Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 24 came to my mind, and it says this, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? That will either be a great comfort or a great distress to you. It's a great comfort if the emphasis is on the first part of the verse. Man's goings are of the Lord. How'd you get here today? The Lord. Why are you where you are? The Lord. But it says, how then can a man understand his own way? If that's what you're focusing on, it'll drive you crazy. How can a man understand his own way? You can't understand your own way. You can't understand what I mean by that many times in life. I mean, you know where you are right now, but you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. God does. Man's goings are of the Lord. That's why we need to trust Him with our paths and with our decisions and everything that we come to. And man's goings are of the Lord. What about this morning we think about our sin problem? Do you know we all have a sin problem? Now God wants to get the right answer out of us concerning this. We all have a sin problem. And concerning our sin problem today, there's only two groups in the world. We are either unforgiven concerning our sins or we're forgiven. We say forgiven, saved, born again, converted. But I know the Lord has forgiven me of my sins. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never been born again, you are unforgiven of your sins. Either Jesus Christ is going to forgive you. He's already paid the price. He died upon the cross. And we can accept that and believe that. Or you're going to have to pay for them sins your own self. And that's going to take all of eternity and it's still not going to be paid for. Now here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Lord said, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. People say, oh, my sins are black. No, your sins are red like crimson. That was a stain in the Bible that you couldn't get it out. It's what God was saying, though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. The only way to get our sin problem dealt with is by the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's already done for us. We're either forgiven or we're unforgiven. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, the greatest need of your life is to be forgiven of your sins. And God's the only one that can do that. Can you win a soul? You know, we talk a lot about witnessing and winning people to the Lord. Can you do that? Can I do that? Guess what? I can't do that. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Can't do it without Him. Can we build a church this morning? You know, a lot of times, all across our country, people get together and preachers and churches and, you know, they scratch their heads and they say, you know, we need to build a church or build our church or grow our church. And all those things are great and wonderful. But guess what? Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church. He's the only one that can build the church. Now, He'll use us. We can't do it. He's got to do it. He's got to win the souls. He's got to build the church. He's got to send the blessing. Life is full of questions that we come across. How do we know the answer to those questions? Psalms 119:99. The Bible said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Where's the answer to all these questions? Right here in the Bible. Right here in God's Word. How do we do these things? The answer's in the Bible. The questions in the Bible are designed to get the right answers out of us. And here's the right answer. I know the Lord can do everything. He can do it. I can't. What about answered prayer? You can't do it. He can. Now, there's one last thing I want to show you this morning and I'll be done. In Job's life, the last thing we find in Job's life, after the rhetorical questions and after the right answers, there is a revived activity. Now, if we were just looking at Job's first situation, he lost his health, he lost his finances, he lost his family, he lost everything. We would look at Job and say, he's down for the count. He's not going to be able to bounce back from this. And in and of himself, he couldn't. But I look in the book of Job and I find that beginning in chapter number 42, Job's life begins to turn around. When Job begins to see the Lord correctly for who he is, and Job gives the right answer back to the Lord, then guess what starts to happen? Chapter 42 and verse number 7. The Bible said, and it was so after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. The Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. So God begins to speak to Job, and he also speaks to these other men. But look down in verse number 10. The Bible said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Guess what? Job's not down for the count. Job's not out of the fight, so to speak. I love what it says in verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. In my mind's eye, I get a picture of a key going into a lock, and God turns the lock, and the shackles fall off, and everything begins to change in Job's life. You ever been in that place? You're bound up. You're tied up. You can't do anything. You don't have any answers. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes along and changes the whole situation. I'm glad to know who's got the key today. And so when Job began to see the right picture of exactly who God is, things begin to change in his life. Look at verse 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters. Now I hadn't heard about them up to this point. And all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemima, which I think is a great name, by the way. And if I wanted, but Kim vetoed that. But she said, all I can think of is pancake syrup. I'm telling you, that's a pretty name. Jemima is a Bible name, and it has a beautiful meaning. So you young parents might think about that. Jemima, and the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Karen. See, Karen's name's in the Bible. Amen. I can't pronounce the last part. Habakkuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. Those of you that are grandparents, boy, isn't that a blessing? I mean, we've got one, and I'm sort of smitten. He saw his sons and his sons' sons and his sons' sons' sons. So Job died being old and full of days. You know, as I read the book of Job, I thought Job was old and about done at the beginning. Well, he hadn't even gotten started good. Everything changed in Job's life when he saw the Lord correctly in his life. And I'm telling you, that's so important today, that we see God correctly for who He is and what He is able to do in our lives. We've got to give God His proper place in our lives. Lord, I know Thou canst do everything. We ought to get out of the business of telling God what He needs to do and when He needs to do it and how He needs to do it. That's where Job was. I think I need to advise God about my situation. But then at the very end, he said, I'm done giving advice to God. I just know You can do everything. And there's no thought withholding from Thee. You ought to underline that too. God knows what you're thinking about. You say, I've never said that. Yeah, but you thought it. And when Job began to see an answer right, everything about his life changed physically. His relationships changed. See how bad his relationships are at the beginning? His wife, his friends. But now everything's better. His brothers, his sisters come, people that he knew before. His fellowship is restored. They're eating bread together. They're fellowshipping together. His fruitfulness is restored. He has 10 children again. 7 sons and 3 daughters with beautiful names. His testimony is restored. His joy is restored. His longevity is restored. And on and on and on. But look what had to happen in his life. What really is happening, and I'm closing this morning, what has happened in Job's life is with the same thing that happens with all the great saints of God. Job came to the end of himself. That's what happens in the book of Job. You say, what's the book of Job about? Job comes to the end of himself. And he sees God in his rightful place. Same thing happened in Esther's life. If I perish, I perish. Same thing happened in Peter's life. He was so self-confident. Until he cursed and he denied the Lord 3 times. And then we see the Lord really begin to use Peter. Same thing in Saul's life. When he saw the Lord and he said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? He come to the end of himself. You know, that'd be a good thing to come at the beginning of a new year for us to come to the end of ourselves. I can't, but the Lord can. Lord, thou can do. You can do everything. Can you catch a dragon? Nope. You don't even know what you're going to have for breakfast in the morning. God knows all. And He can do everything. The Bible said in Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. That fretteth against the Lord, it means to boil up and to be peevish like a child or to be angry. Many times in our life, that's exactly where we are. We might not even say it out loud, but we're sort of angry about things God's doing. The Bible says that's foolish. We need to get over that. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I really appreciate your good attention this morning. And maybe God spoke to your heart today. I don't know, but I'm going to ask Brother Nathan to come and the ladies and get us a song. And if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart today, you need to come. Won't you come? If you're here today and you're lost, you say, Preacher, I realize I've never been saved. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to save you. You've got to answer Him by faith. You've got to come by faith. Father, as we come today, I want to thank You for Your many blessings You've given to us. And Lord, as I personally think back over the last year, there's a lot of places I could say, why this and why that? And Lord, honestly, in my life, many times we moan about things. We complain about things. We don't understand things. Lord, help us just to leave being God to You and help us to look to You for everything. Lord, have Your way today. And we'll thank You for what You do. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's come to our feet.
Page 362 at the top. 362 at the top.
We're going to sing. If you need to come, if you need prayer, won't you come today? If you need help.